that Mr. Rickey was so wise that he planned that whole thing to bring it to where he could do what he did and put in Jackie's mind and his spirit that his was bigger than anything he'd ever done. And that resisting was what he had to do. Otherwise, this experiment, which Mr. Rickey called it, would not succeed.
That's great. And in fact, I've done some research and found that Jackie did this interview with some Viewpoint Christian show, radio show or something, years later, after the 45 meeting. And he said that the first person he called after the meeting in 45 was his mother to talk about it and everything that happened there. And that his mother said, go see a minister.
Okay.
He didn't say in the interview who he went to see, but he suggested he went to see somebody in Brooklyn. We don't know who. But the idea being, you're right, that his mother was a big impact on him, very Christian, and then he had in his mind that after hearing all this about turning the other cheek, he had to call his mother. That was his connection back to his faith.
Well, see, that, to me, see, that's kind of hidden in all this, and it would be hard to prove that, except the outcome.
Because you're saying God had to have some role.
I'll say the spiritual strength that Mr. Rickey tweaked was key to Jackie's ability to resist. And it's history. You cannot find any place in written word, recorded word, spoken word, or anybody's eyewitness that Jackie ever fought in a parking lot, in a clubhouse, in a restaurant, in any setting, did Jackie ever violate his commitment to resist, even in his latter years of protest, civil rights marches. It never resulted in Jackie having fisticuffs or pushing or spitting or any violent response. It never happened.
So he listened. He got the message.
He doesn't really listen. You know, everybody can listen. What's hard in life is to do it. And I don't know how he did it. I cannot imagine myself not responding sometime. But he never did. You got to give Rachel some credit too.
Why? How do you think she plays in all of this?
Well, I get to know Rachel quite well. So did my wife Betty, because the wives were together, some in different settings. Rachel was always her own woman. I got to know Mrs. Babe Ruth, because I was on the Babe Ruth National Board for Babe Ruth Baseball, kids 15, 13 to 15. Well, they one time had a World Series in Anderson. So Mrs. Ruth would always come to wherever the World Series was and stay a week. And she would go to Kiwanis Clubs and Rotary, and it was kind of promoting things. So we hosted Mrs. Ruth for a week in Anderson. And Claire Ruth was her name. And I got this sensation, every place I go with Mrs. Ruth, she was not Mrs. Ruth. And she was not Claire Ruth. They never identified Claire Ruth. She was Babe Ruth's wife. Mm. How did Babe do that? What did he really do this? Did he really eat three loaves of bread and a bottle of ketchup before the meal? Did he eat two steaks? And she poo-pooed most of that and said, no. But the point I'm making is Rachel was Jack's biggest supporter, but also his biggest critic. Mm. She was the one who, I think, Mr. Rickey wisely said he's going to be with her more than he's going to be with the team.
Yeah.
And when he met Rachel, who's a college graduate herself, psychiatric nursing, I think. But anyway, she was a strong person in Jackie's off-the-field life. So he's in uniform 4 or 5 hours. He got the rest of the day and night to walk the streets as a black man. And,
yeah.
And so Rachel had huge influence on Jackie. And I think she criticized him on some of the way he maybe handled his life. But that was their own thing. But,
in terms of how he handled all the fame or his personal life? Or?
Well, she was a fighter, too. Mm. She suffered many of the same indignities Jackie did. Hotels and airline experiences and all that stuff. She went through all that. And she's dignified. She's a class individual. And she has high values of herself. And what's different from Jackie, from Rachel, than how I saw Missy Drew, she certainly was part of Jackie's life.
Yeah.
But she always maintained her own dignity and her own personality. And I just saw that as a real contrast.
How do you talked about Campanella. I know you were very close to him, and some people make it out that he and Jackie really fought, and that Campy was too passive. Right. How do you see all that?
I see it this way. They were both right. Because you have to go back to why they were both in the big leagues. They came for different reasons. Not intentionally, but as history played out, Jackie wouldn't win games because it legitimized what he was really there for.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't be a losing team, a losing player, and have the impact that a winning, I mean, it's just life.
Right.
And so Jackie, in a sense, didn't care much about Bay. I don't say it right. Jackie's priorities were not necessarily baseball, but he had to have baseball. That was the platform. But why he was there was to, in a sense, get even. For the time he couldn't ride on the bus when he was a captain in the Army.
Yeah.
And all the other indignities he suffered and his race had suffered. So he was there for that reason. Now, the maddest I ever saw Jackie was not at an umpire or another player, was at a black fan in Cincinnati. It was a Sunday afternoon, a hot day. Excursion trains had come from Birmingham, Atlanta, major cities in the South, on the trains to this big train center in Cincinnati. In fact, it's a historic site right now to this day.
Yeah.
This was a terminal where all these trains came in. Well, black fans by the hundreds came to see Jackie play in Cincinnati. Now, in the earlier years, these crowds were segregated. That's not ever mentioned much either, but in St. Louis and Cincinnati, in Cincinnati they sat in the sun deck, in St. Louis they sat in the pavilion. They could not sit in the regular stands, but after a couple of years that went away. But on this Sunday afternoon in Cincinnati, lots of black fans there to see Jackie. And it was hot. And we played the first game, and we were around the dugout, just some warming up time and getting ready for the second game. And Jackie and I were standing near the edge of the dugout out in the open, and a black fan guy, a man, came down the aisle. When he had left home that day, he was probably dressed like Bo Brummel. But now he's disheveled, he's roughed up, he's drunk. And in a slurry voice, he's yelling, "I want to see my boy Jackie." And Jackie was incensed. He was furious. And he yells at this guy about halfway down the aisle coming toward him. Get out of my sight, you slob. Go home and clean up. I'll bet your front yard looks just like you do. Get out of my sight. Well, this guy was stopped in his tracks and he retreated and back into the stands. That's the maddest I ever saw Jackie. Everything he stood for was being exposed in the wrong way, and he was over the top.
Incredible. You said about the no-hitter, the second no-hitter, that there was a side story you were going to tell me.
Well, I mentioned Betty was home.
Yeah, with the ironing.
She knew I was having arm trouble. So she was a little anxious. Wives do that, you know. They fight it in a different way. So she's watching the game, so she's ironing a tablecloth. And I'm pitching the first couple innings pretty good. So she's still ironing the tablecloth. 4 or 5 innings. Now, we're not superstitious normally, but she's saying, I don't know, he's doing pretty good. She keeps ironing the tablecloth. So about the 5th inning, she finally turns it over, and she irons it for 9 innings. And so I say, well, she didn't scorch a spot. I didn't allow a hit. That's teamwork. I asked Betty to come with us today.
Oh, really?
She couldn't do it. Yeah, she wasn't able. She had committed to having some friends come over. So.
I didn't give up a hit. Pretty good teamwork. I'll try to come back sometime, maybe when the book comes out or something.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, it'll be fun.